might call it a comeback. Trump's been here for years, but no longer seems to be rocking his peers, or anyone else for that matter. But it's a little too early to be calling anything for the 2020 election. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. It was meant to be the start of a conquering comeback for Trump, but Tulsa, Trump's comeback rally, was an embarrassing failure for the campaign. Now, whether you believe the denials that TikTok teens and K-pop fans got the better of them or not, there was no denying the rows and rows of empty seats and dismantling of overflow areas that saw no use, nor Trump's apparent misery on his return to the White House. Ed, is this just an opportunity for some schadenfreude, or is there a bigger picture here?
This is my good news. as I said, quoting my grandfather, even a fly knows when to get off a dead horse. And I think this horse is riding very low right now. There was another rally in Phoenix, a smaller venue, actually a church, seated around 1,500 or 3,000. Not a very big deal. And even it wasn't full. The message does not seem to be resounding very well with his own crowd because he can't declare a victory anywhere. Everything looks like a failure. Now he's declaring a failure, a victory with the COVID by relabeling it Kung Fu or something, but people are still dying. And people understand that the places that have conquered this disease have done it with firm, straightforward control measures, including New York City. So he's not looking very good. He's dropped at least 2 points in the Fox poll. That's his poll. So things aren't looking good for the Trump as he stumps.
Trump still does define this race, though. I mean, to me, he seems to be enjoying all the advantages that come with being an incumbent president. And I haven't seen Biden necessarily cutting through. All he seems to be doing is he's in the background kind of wagging his finger at Trump as Trump keeps messing up thing after thing. How do you feel the Biden campaign is presenting him at the moment?
Right now, Joe Biden is doing as little damage to Joe Biden as he can. He's holding out the promise of a good vice president. He's holding out the promise of a bureaucracy that works. And he's keeping his profile low enough so when he comes out of the gates, I hope, he'll come out of the gates really swinging. And that's at a time when COVID is either under control or when he can do that and do his own whistle stops with a guy named Obama or a woman named Obama by his side. So if you go too quickly at Trump, you give him all the points he needs to come back at you. So I hope Joe is not slow, but smart.
Just while we're on the topic, though, why still no news of a running mate for Biden?
That's the only thing he has. The platform is really already out there. It's being made by Black Lives Matter. It's being made by the healthcare crisis. It's being made by the foreign policy debacles. So going on and on about them doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What does make sense is for him to show he's planted himself with the suburbanites. And that means he has to get a suburbanite choice who will go down well. It looks at this moment like this is Harris, not my favorite candidate. She was in the presidential race, as you'll recall, and she stood toe-to-toe with Joe Biden. No one is saying she's a lightweight or inexperienced or not competent. You might not like her style, but you sure know she has the energy to be a president. She has the know-how to do it, and she has the fortitude to do it. Unfortunately, for those of us who are Black Americans, she is not one of us any more than Obama was. Her father was from the West Indies, and her mother was from India, the subcontinent. She was born in the United States, but grew up most of her life in Canada. So that's going to be thrown at her. And some Blacks will say, we wanted somebody like Stacey Abrams.
William Barr, his latest was this situation involving... He had this one involving U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman, who Barr tried to force out essentially by announcing his resignation, but Berman refused to go quietly, saying he was in fact being fired and refusing to step down until a deal was reached to replace him with his own deputy rather than someone of Barr's choice. The why of this situation is unclear, but as we know, Barr is basically Trump's mob lawyer at this point, putting the Justice Department behind Trump. Former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid has said, "What can be done about William Barr? I really think the only thing that can be done is impeachment." Thoughts, Ed?
Yes, I agree with that. He's impeachable. What Barr is doing is running a calculated risk right now. He's trying to do as many things as he can for the president to keep the president out of jail when he leaves office. That's what the New York thing's about. Most of the accusations about the president stem from his dealings in New York, both federal and state, and particularly with financial matters. Financial matters cover state issues like paying state taxes and federal issues like federal taxes. And that's why the taxes are so important. Moreover, there are a whole list of things that the state attorney general in New York has against him right now that are being held up in the courts, even though they're entirely state matters. Another issue that he has to face is the fact that he paid someone off during the campaign to stay keep quiet and didn't declare it. That is a clear violation of the Campaign Act and a federal crime. Moreover, Giuliani is being pursued by these same people and Giuliani's associates who say the president was involved in all their misdeeds. And that could be conspiracy. So he's trying to cover the tracks before they leave town.
An appeals court has also ordered that U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan dismiss the criminal case against Michael Flynn and have ruled he cannot scrutinize the Justice Department's decision to drop the long-running prosecution. What's going on with that one, Ed?
Well, this is a bit strange because this appeals court looked like they were going to go all the way for Justice Sullivan, saying that he was only trying to carry out justice was served by the court and by the trial itself and not be interfered with. It was a 2-1 decision with the final person, a person just put on by the president. So this one is going to appeal for sure. What's going to happen to Flynn now is not clear, but there are New York charges against him for not declaring his own income taxes, nor his involvement with Turkey in terms of registering as an agent for another government. So this is all covered under the Mob Act in New York. So he's not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, that one is still developing as we, as we speak right now. But while we're on this topic as well, Roger Stone. We haven't had talked about him in a while, but one of the prosecutors of the Stone case has said this week the highest levels of the Department of Justice pressured officials to cut Stone a break. Stone was meant to begin his 3-year sentence next week on June 30th, but his lawyers have made a motion to delay, citing COVID-19 concerns. Any thoughts?
Well, he's probably more of a danger to COVID-19 than COVID is to him. He is a very dangerous and silly man. On the other hand, he is so silly, it's almost not to be worthy of prosecution. The longer he's associated with Trump, the better. I don't know what's going to happen here. He's assuming, if the worst comes to worst, Trump will give him a pardon. And I think that's the case. They are very close mates. And if it looks to Trump like he's going to lose the election, he's going to give that pardon, and to Flynn as well, and hope that he can leave a day early and have his vice president issue him a pardon.
And on COVID-19, I mean, what do we call this at the moment? Resurgence, second wave or first? There's been a spike in cases. But as you've said, Ed, this virus had yet to work its way into some of these states. And regardless of that, these shutdowns never really operated on a really solid logic of shutting down the first wave to begin with. We're up to 124,000 deaths and innumerable cases. At this stage, is this whole thing just going to be allowed to run its course with no more real response?
I think this is the Spanish flu. It is going to run its course. It's going to do enormous damage to the national social and physical infrastructure. It is a very dangerous disease. We don't even know if this is not a new version of COVID. It incubates for so long, we could have another wave of this disease, as the Koreans are finding, in a slightly different pattern. So this may be the second pattern that's hitting. No one really knows unless they've cleaned out the entire system. The reason Australia and New Zealand are doing so well, along with Vietnam, is total closing of the borders. So no one coming in has the disease. And then if it plays out with who's there. The U.S. borders are not sealed. So there are people coming in from Latin America and other places bringing the disease with them. So this is just a transfer. The U.K. is in the same position. U.K. has not closed its borders. The thing that really is clear for the countries that have done well is border closing.
Indeed, you've got the European Union right now reopening some borders, but rather wisely, it would seem, keeping them closed to the United States.
That's right. Interesting. It started there, and now they're closing to the United States.
And Trump has signed an executive order extending a pause on at least some green cards and suspending other visas for foreign workers until the end of 2020. This affects tech workers, seasonal workers outside the agricultural sector, and some others. The White House claims this will free up jobs for Americans looking for work due to COVID-19. But what's your take on this one, Ed?
Well, for the most part, the tech workers, the United States needs those tech workers, and they need them in close proximity. But I would anticipate, and I don't know this, I have no authority on this, but the tech field has probably moved more rapidly into using technology to exchange information than anywhere else. And proximity may not be the issue. When this is over, we may not see a lot of the people looking for these HB1 visas at all, because they're safely in whatever country they're in, and it's germ-free. And if you're a tech worker, you look for a better place, not a worse place. So the United States is not going to be the place these tech workers are looking for. Farm workers are in a very difficult position from the Caribbean, because there's no work there. So they have to put their lives in danger to take work in the United States. So who knows what's going to happen there? I think a lot of the farm workers are going to say, no, I'm not coming. And maybe some Americans learn how to work with their hands.
And Black Lives Matter protests are still ongoing, although we've seen a great deal less coverage. Democrats and Republicans are at odds over police reform, with a Republican bill blocked in the Senate by Democrats who called the bill irreparably flawed. Now, be that as it may, I don't see this one advancing in a hurry. Any thoughts?
Well, there's one bill that was advancing. This was the lynching bill that really outlawed anything that came close to a chokehold or anything that really endangered a person's life. And all the deaths that are happening in prisons in the United States, so-called suicides, much like Australia. Prisons are places where people want to commit suicide these days because they're really run by the inmates. And they're very difficult, flawed, and awful places. So I think we're now looking at the bottom of the system rather than at the top. What we have to look for and search for really is bringing people together and not trying to deal with them after they've been put in prison or just before. Police reform means what I said several weeks ago, and that is putting the police in the community. Centralizing the police forces around the country has made them Gestapo rather than community agents.
And you've touched on this one, but it is a very disturbing one that just wanted to extend on a little bit. There's this trend across various states, at least six black individuals found hanging from trees in what look like lynchings. Now, authorities say that all of these deaths appear to be suicides with no signs of foul play, but some families and a lot of activists aren't buying it, and even if these are self-inflicted, they certainly seem to be intended to make a very dark statement. Similarly, you might say to the self-immolating monks during the Buddhist crisis in South Vietnam. This speaks to the darker side of the African-American psyche right now. Just any thoughts, Ed?
Well, I just gave some, but I think the other issue is the people being hanged out in the open. Usually, the people that do that want an audience, and these have been audience-less. So it's very difficult to figure out what's going on here, but it is adding additional drama and trauma to the American social psyche, as the president is, by labeling people who are demonstrating against the evilness of racism as thugs and hoodlums. The United States isn't going to get over that soon. Every time people of different colors encounter one another, there's going to be either fear, anger, or surprise. It's going to take a long time to get over this. All lives matter. And when people realize that and deal with that, then everything will be okay.
Ed and myself will be back with all the latest news from the US next week. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Drop us a review if you're so inclined. And remember, you can show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.